Now, rates of skin cancer are up over 100% in young people over the last decade, and this is down to exposure to ultraviolet or UV rays, which are present in sunlight, which does damage to DNA in our skin. But despite being natural sunbathers, plants don't suffer the same fate. In fact, UV boosts plant growth, and this is a discovery which could have major commercial advantages. Dr. Jason Wargent is from Massey University Institute of Agriculture and Environment. What do plants do to avoid getting sunburnt then?
Well, one of the amazing things about plants is that they're constantly confronted with these challenges throughout their life, from an animal wanting to eat them to a disease wanting to infect them. And yet they're basically unable to move. So one of the big exciting things for us as plant scientists is to figure out how plants deal with these problems, but without being able to run away from trouble. And sunlight, I guess, is the ultimate dilemma for a plant, really. Plants need light to be able to grow through photosynthesis. But we know that too much of the wrong kinds of light can be damaging to a plant, potentially. And the UV spectrum is part of that part of sunlight, which can potentially cause damage to plants as it can humans and other life. And what we're trying to work out here is how plants deal with that by essentially making a sunscreen of their own.
Because they can't slip, slop, slap, can they?
Plants can, when they start responding to different kinds of or different parts of sunlight, they can manufacture compounds in the upper parts of their leaf, which can shield them from that excess UV, which can potentially cause DNA damage or damage to its photosynthetic machinery if it didn't have that protection there.
Is there an advantage for the plant, apart as well as being able to keep that UV away, is there another advantage to producing these natural sunscreens?
Yeah, so there's some really amazing overlaps with the kinds of functions these compounds do in plants. So they're making these compounds, and we think they first evolved so that plants could be protected from sunlight. But they have crossover functions in plants. So some of these compounds are the same kinds of compounds which are making leaves less tasty to an insect that wants to chew on them, or maybe affecting how a plant can defend itself from disease. And of course, then there's the ultimate potential human nutrition benefits, which we might take advantage of as well.
I did read somewhere that scientists have been studying edelweiss, the plant that lives quite high up in the mountains. And those leaves make lots of little hairs on the leaf. And the hairs have hairs, and the hairs are on the order of the size of ultraviolet rays. So they sort of interfere or the ultraviolet rays get diverted inside or pushed inside the hair where there's some water, and it uses the water to sort of soak up the energy, and in that way it stops it getting near the leaf surface.
So there's all these really cool adaptations that plants have made over time or evolved over time, and a lot of plants have hairs on their leaves, and a lot of those hairs contain some of the sunscreening, the many, many different kinds of compounds that different plants might make, and they're all carrying out a similar function. And those hairs, we call them trichomes, have a good function in protecting the plant too. And they have other roles too. They might, again, stop insects chewing, and they might be able to help with drought stress and these kinds of things as well.
This is a very nice tweet here from Diana Gordon, who says, do plants get an analogy of cancer? Can plants nonetheless get some form of tumour because of ultraviolet?
So it's a similar process comparing plants to humans in terms of, we're talking about DNA damage. And when that damage happens, in humans, of course, it may result in some form of skin cancer. In plants, we're really talking about damage which could accumulate and affect the life of that plant. And plants have always this small amount of DNA damage that might be going on, and they use that as a way of detecting what they're doing in their environment. But, of course, if that damage becomes too great, like we think was potentially happening around the time first plants tried to evolve this kind of protection, then they've had to dig themselves out of trouble that way.
So how are you using ultraviolet to try to get plants to grow better then?
So the responses that plants switch on when they come into contact with UV, not least the sunscreening response, but other things too, they can change colour. But plants change the shape and size of their leaves, they change the thickness of their leaves, and they change many, many other things about how they grow. And there is now a good overlap. Now we're moving past our concerns, or partly past our concerns around ozone depletion and damage. We're moving towards a space where we think that some of these characteristics in plants might actually be a really good thing in agriculture, because this predisposition, this small stress creating a good outcome, we may be able to exploit that when we're growing crops for food.
And we've seen that with other plants, like grapes, for example. They like a hard, you know, they treat the mean and you get a lovely Merlot, isn't it? Well,
I mean, that's right, yeah.
Is that the thing? They need a little bit of stress to sort of then flourish.
Yeah, and maybe that's similar to humans too, right? A little bit of stress brings out the best in people. Or if you go to the doctors when you're young and get an inoculation, you're getting a little bit of something bad, a mini stress.
How are you seeking to exploit this then? Would you see sort of greenhouses full of lots of plants with UV exposure to turn on this response, and in that way you're fooling the plants into thinking they need to grow better or defend themselves so you get a better crop or something?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you think about some of the ways we're growing crops at the moment, there is this increase in the use of lights indoors, but also strategically deploying these wavelengths which usually aren't used in growing crops indoors. You could switch on these mechanisms in plants, and then they may still go outside anyway, like many plants do after their nursery phase, or they may stay indoors, and we can take advantage of those responses. If you look at the major stresses crops encounter, aspects like disease are a big concern for growers, and with changing climate, disease is becoming even more of a concern in crops. So if we have a range of ways to affect things like disease control, then we have another tool in our armory, and we are now developing devices which can deploy UV, which would potentially sweep around a glasshouse, giving that little bit of stress. The plants then go on into the rest of the growing cycle.
Thanks so much, Jason. Jason Wargent is from Massey University Institute of Agriculture and Environment.